Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, and both or in our own languages we hear them, speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord. So today's a fun day. As I mentioned earlier, it is the birthday of the church. It is the day that many consider the church to officially be born, the day that something brand new was completely marked. It's also our last Sunday in what's called the Christ semester. In the church year, there's two semesters. There's the Christ semester, which follows the life of Christ, his birth at Christmas, or waiting for his birth at Advent, his birth at Christmas, his baptism, his time in the desert during the season of Lent, Holy Week, the week of his entry into Jerusalem, and the commandment he gave to love one another, his crucifixion, his resting, I say resting, his death while in the tomb, or being dead in the tomb, and then Easter, which he is risen from the grave, which takes us throughout the season of Easter, leading us to the Ascension, and then finally to today. And then from here on out, it's what's called ordinary or the church semester, where we focus on the life of the church and how we, having seen the life of Christ, how do we now live into his life and let his life live into us? And today is important because Christ has ascended back to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, where he sits and he mediates for us, between God and humanity. But he didn't leave us alone. He promised that his Holy Spirit would come and that we would be able to live a life like Christ lived because of his Spirit. And that's what we celebrate today, that God sent his Spirit not to the select few, not just to the disciples, not just to Mary, not just to a few people throughout history, but that when the Holy Spirit came, it came like a rushing wind, and it filled the crowd, and it filled the people that were gathered, and they were able to take it out and spread the Holy Spirit to others and help others to see that the Holy Spirit can dwell in them as well. A couple of the churches I've been to, most of the churches I've been to in my life, at least the last three, each time I've left, and I don't know if this is just in my experience or if most churches do this, I can only speak from what I've seen. I've not heard many of my friends talk about something like this. But when I left each of the last three churches I was at, they specifically did a sending at the end of it. Yeah, I've normally seen it done for like when missionaries come, but each of the last three churches, North Street, Knoll Avenue, and my home church, Woodbridge, each of them were specific that when somebody was leaving the church, they sent them. And so when I was at North Street, my last Sunday of college, my last Sunday I was there, Pastor Jeremy called me up, and he and Pastor Dennis and other people came around and they laid their hands on me and they said, "You are leaving us to go someplace new. We are sending you out in the Spirit." At Knoll, it was very similar. They called me up and they prayed for me and they sent me out, and we had a potluck afterwards because they were good Nazarenes. But it wasn't, "All right, Brent's leaving, he's going someplace new." It was, "We are sending you in Christ to minister in Cape Elizabeth now." And it was the same down at Woodbridge. The very last Sunday before I started, I was home. And so the pastor called me up and had me kneel at the altar. And he said, "Even though you've been in many places, we've still considered you our own. Now that you are officially going to pastor, we'll still claim you, but we can't say that you're our own." So he had people come and gather around me and pray over me, and they specifically sent me from Woodbridge to Cape Elizabeth. There was an act of sending and going out. And each time, it was great because it was never about me. It was about being sent forth in the Spirit or sent forth in Christ. It was, "We are sending you in the Spirit to do the work of Christ." It was never, "We're sending you so that you'll be happy," or "We're sending you so that life will be good." It was always, "We're sending you in the Spirit to do the work of Christ, to build up his name rather than your own." Which I think is something all churches should do if they don't. When somebody leaves, to send them out in blessing and send them out in the Spirit. Not in their own name, but in the name of Christ. So our Genesis passage today isn't technically the Old Testament lectionary passage, but I mentioned this on Tuesday night, and I think I mentioned it in the announcements last week. I can never read the Pentecost story without thinking of the Tower of Babel. I'm not sure if Luke intended that connection to be made, but it's always there when I think about when I think about Pentecost. Because Pentecost, in many ways, is the exact opposite of the Tower of Babel. In the Tower of Babel, we see that people are coming together and they decide that they're going to build this tower that can reach to heaven, which, you know, with our modern sensibility, we realize how ridiculous that sounds. But then I think about it and I'm like, well, I guess that's not really that ridiculous. When I was younger, I wanted to be an astronaut. I didn't care to go to space. I didn't care about the moon or the planets. I wanted to be an astronaut so that I could ride on a rocket and potentially see what heaven looked like. And as I got older, I realized, oh, that's not how it all works. So I'm able to understand why they kind of thought that they could do something to reach God, that they could build themselves something that would be high enough that they could reach God and reach where God dwelled. And if they could reach where God was at, what makes them any different than God? They could become like God. They could go to his dwelling and be where he is. In many ways, this was vertical. You know, towers are vertical, and it was all about themselves. It was, if we can become like God, if we can reach where God is, not only can we be like God, in a sense, we're greater than God because we were able to overcome where we were and get to where he is. Let's build a tower so that we can make our name known, that people might know us. Let's build ourselves up as we build this tower. And it was interesting to me. It jumped out to me while Mona was reading it today, that they had the fear of being scattered. That they're going about this, let's do this to make our name known, but let's not fail, because if we fail, not only will we not be known, we'll be scattered. And they weren't able to reach God, and they were made confused. They went out not able to understand each other, so that they could not even attempt to continue to build themselves up like that. Which leads us, however many thousands of years later, to Pentecost. We see the disciples who have listened to Jesus. They are waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They are gathered together. And then all of a sudden, a mighty rushing winds and tongues of flame come upon them. And the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in them now. And we see, in many ways, a complete reversal of what Babel was. Instead of us trying to build our way up to God, God has again come down to us. God came down in the form of Christ, where he lived and dwelt among us, and then Christ told us, I'm sending you a comforter. That we don't have to reach up to God, because God has already come and reached down to us. Which is the exact opposite of Babel, trying to build our way up to God, when instead all we had to do was wait for God to come to us. Instead of going vertically and trying to spread our own name and make our own name greater, he sends us out horizontally and he tells us, go and spread the name of Christ. Don't try to build up your own name. Spread the only name that is worthy to be spread out. The name of Christ, the one which is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, who mediates between God and humanity. The name by which we are saved. And so, unlike the fear of being scattered, the disciples and the crowds would come to have joy in being scattered, because they're not being scattered and having their name be shot down. They're being scattered, and they're now able to go and spread the name of Jesus Christ throughout Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the world. And so while the Tower of Babel, their builders were spread in separation, while they were scattered in separation, Here at Pentecost, we see that the believers are being spread out and scattered in unity with one common mission, to make known the name of Christ rather than their own. And as they're scattered, they don't go in confusion, but instead they go in the understanding. They go in the understanding that the message of the good news of Jesus Christ is not just for one, or not just for a specific group of people, but instead it's for everyone who will listen, for anyone that has ears to hear. There is not confusion, but there is unity. Which brings me to one of my favorite parts of the Bible as I'm talking about this unity and having ears to hear. The way of Babel had been the way of life for as long as it had been known. Confusion and disunity and not being able to understand one another. And so the crowds look up to Peter and they go, "Peter, are you drunk?" To which I think is one of the funniest responses in the Bible. Peter goes, "No, it's only 9 a.m. It just cracks me up, because instead of being like, no, I'm not. It's, you know, maybe if we were, 4 hours later, that may have been the reason. But no, this is the morning. I don't get drunk in the morning. Only in the evening." And so it just cracks me up that was Peter's response, was, "Nope, it's only 9 a.m. It's got to be the Holy Spirit." And so being enlivened with the Holy Spirit, I imagine in many ways it must have been like being drunk, just the excitement and the change. And I imagine the disciples had to be a little bubbly at this point, had to be giddy with the joy of the Spirit, to be able to tell the crowds the good news in a way that they would be able to understand it, so that the crowds could hear the good news and not only understand it and not only comprehend it, but do something about it, that they could go out from that place and spread the good news. The Tower of Babel, God stopped the spread of bad news of us trying to become like God on our own. Which never works. I don't know if you've tried to become God. It's not very easy, and it doesn't work. We can't do it. But the good news is we don't have to, because God became like us so that we could dwell with him forever, so that we could know what the kingdom of God is like. We don't have to build our way up to it. It comes down to us. And that part of our task then is to go out and spread this good news. The Holy Spirit has come down, and we've seen what the kingdom of God is like, and we're not supposed to keep that a secret. It's not supposed to be this great secret that only you and I and a few others know. No, we're supposed to go out and tell everybody we can. As I've said multiple times since I've been here, in many ways, the best way to describe Christianity is merely one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. We're merely people that can now go and tell others the good news and where to find the good news. And all of this, talking about the birthday of the church and what that was like and what it meant and what it means for us today, it made me think of something this morning. As I was driving back from Hannaford, there's a 5K going on today, which I didn't time out very well, so I had to wait for like 5 minutes just sitting there as all the runners ran by. And so I started thinking about the assignments I have due later today and later this week, and about today being Pentecost. And one of the things that I thought of, so the class I'm in with Jeff Barker is ecclesiology. And ecclesiology just means the study of the church. And so that word ecclesiology comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which is the word that they use for church. But the word ekklesia literally just means the called out ones, ones who have been called out, ones who have been taken out of where they are and put someplace new. And that's what we celebrate today, that we are called out, that we are called out of the world into the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of good news. But I don't want to leave it there, because that's where a lot of people leave it, is we're called out of the world. We're called into the kingdom of God. And it's true. But as Pastor John would say, but wait, there's more. Not only are we called out of the world and into the kingdom of God, we're called to go back to the world. We're not called to disassociate ourselves from out there and contain ourselves within these four walls and not care about what goes on with our neighbors. But instead, we're called to go back into the world in the power of the Spirit to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to let them know that there is a mediator who mediates on our behalf to God the Father. We are called to be a people who don't hoard the Holy Spirit, but we tell everyone we can. This is what the Holy Spirit has done in my life. You should come meet her. This is what God has done for me. Let me tell you a little bit about who he is. Pentecost is a day of power, but it's not a worldly power. It's not one that builds ourselves up. It's a power that makes it easy, not always easy, but it makes us able to not care about our own name, but to care about the only name that matters, the name of Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, but we don't just celebrate it in these four walls. As our service will come to a close later, we will leave this place and we will go out in the Spirit to spread the name of Christ and the good news. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we are thankful that you do not keep your Spirit to yourself, but rather that you invite us all to receive it, that you invite us to embrace her, and that you invite us to go forth in her power. We are so thankful that you don't just call us out of the world and have us be our own little island separated from everything else, but that you call us into your kingdom, and that you call us into yourself, that we may be nourished, and that we may come to know who you are and come to realize our purpose, that we might be sent back out into the world to invite them into your kingdom as well. That it's not just an escape from the world, but rather it's how we save the world. It's how we interact with the world. God, thank you for not letting it end at Babel. Thank you for not saying, all right, you guys tried to reach me. I'm going to show you how impossible it is. Thank you for instead saying, you can't reach me on your own. That's why I'm going to come to you. try as hard as you might, I know you can't do it. And that's why I will do everything that I can to come to you. God, we thank you for coming to us in the person of Jesus Christ and to showing us the fullest revelation of who you are, for showing us who God is and what God is like. We thank you that he would go to the deepest points in order for us to know you, not merely leaving the throne above to walk on earth, but to die on a cross and to be buried, to go to the lowest point that is humanly possible. But we thank you that he did not stay there. God, we thank you that you rose Jesus Christ from the dead, that all might see the power and the glory of you. We thank you that he is ascended and sitting back at your right hand, and that he is constantly pleading our case to you, that he is constantly reminding that you will go as far as it takes to reach us. And God, we thank you for sending your Spirit, that we don't have to go out and try to do this Christian walk on our own, that we don't have to try to live like Jesus by our own power, but rather that we walk this life in the power of your Spirit, that she leads us and that she guides us. And sometimes she kicks us in the direction we need to go. God, we thank you for coming to us, for caring that much about us. God, as we leave this place later, remind us that you are still pouring out your Spirit on people. That Pentecost did not end, but even today there are still people that are receiving your Holy Spirit as she falls upon them. God, we thank you for this. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve him this week.